Thank you for joining IAB There.
Hello, everyone. I'm Angelina Eng, VP of Measurement and Attribution here at the IAB. Welcome to the IAB There, our daily live stream in which we connect the digital advertising ecosystem. On today's show, we are excited to speak with our special guest, Alex Dietz, EVP of China at MIQ Digital, where we'll be discussing programmatic in China. Alex is responsible for the MIQ business in China, providing global brands and agencies with programmatic solutions to connect with the Chinese audience from anywhere in the world. He's an expert on programmatic in China and has a track record supporting brands scale their marketing efforts across the globe. Let's welcome Alex to the screen.
Hi, Angelina. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Well, thank you for joining us. I'd love to understand a little bit more about what MIQ does. So what kind of organization are you, and what types of services do you provide?
Yeah, thanks. So MIQ are a programmatic business. We were founded in 2010, headquartered in London, and since then have gone on to expand into about 20 offices now in 8 different countries. And we're most prominent in the US. And I think the best way to think of MIQ really is that we're all things programmatic. So if something's programmatically enabled, the chances are, you know, we'll be buying, selling and trading on it. And so, you know, we provide programmatic solutions to agencies and marketers, all focused on delivering better business outcomes. And at the heart of what we do is data analytics and technology. And that really enables us to drive efficient outcomes for brands, as well as derive, you know, really meaningful insight from programmatic to inform future strategy. So, you know, for the most part, you know, that's within display and native and video. But actually, more recently, you know, we've seen a lot of growth within TV and digital out of home, as well as audio. So I think the best way to describe MIQ is, if it's programmatic, the chances are we'll be doing it.
Now, you're based in London, but you are overseeing the office in China. Can you tell me a little bit about what's the difference? What have you found to be different about the China market? Is it different, or are there a lot of similarities?
Yeah, so it's a bit of an odd one. I'm based in London, but have oversight of our China business. And so, you know, I lead our team in China, who are based in Shanghai, and also sort of lead our team of China specialists that are based all over the world. So we've got people in Chicago, in New York, in London, Singapore, so on and so forth, really helping us to drive our China initiative forward. And I've spent the last sort of 18 months helping to scale our China business and really make, you know, China sort of more accessible for international and global brands across the world, and all through the vehicle of programmatic. We're very sort of consistent in our approach across all of our geographies, where programmatic is at the core of everything we do. And I think there are definitely a lot of differences, perhaps even too much to sort of unpack in this call. But I think the reason why, you know, we got started in China was, you know, mostly because of how fascinating the market is. I think a lot of our clients, a lot of actually sort of those who originate in the US who we work with domestically in the US, were asking us about China. And we thought, you know, a few years ago, it's like, are we really a global business if we're not able to, you know, really deliver in China? So we sort of took the sort of the first step in thinking about expanding our business into China. And since then, it's grown a lot. And a lot of that is just because of the sort of the perpetual demand that brands have for the Chinese consumer now, and the unprecedented opportunity that that market presents. There's a ton of differences that I'm sure we can unpack in the coming moments.
Now, are all your clients based in China, or do you have clients all throughout the world?
Yeah, so I think there's two real main strategies that we have when it comes to China. We have what we call China Outbound, and that's where we're helping brands and agencies in China scale their businesses and provide services internationally. So targeting consumers in the US, in the UK, in Southeast Asia, and so on and so forth. And I think, you know, with that, you know, programmatic is quite an untapped resource for many Chinese brands. A lot of Chinese brands that market overseas are focused on search and social. And so we're introducing the concept of programmatic when it comes to overseas marketing. And then the flip side of that, which is something that we've been doing now for over 2 years, is what we call China inbound. So helping, you know, international brands and agencies outside of China, in the US, UK, Canada, Australia, Southeast Asia, of all shapes and sizes, really you know, get into the Chinese market, leveraging programmatic. And so our mission statement and the sort of our ambition is to really make China as accessible to everyone from anywhere in the world, and bring that Chinese audience as close as possible. And actually, you know, programmatic is much like Zoom, in the sense that, you know, Zoom connects us all today in this sort of, you know, pandemic that we're in, irrespective of where we are. And programmatic does the same. The programmatic pipes that are now available allow us to connect with the sort of the Chinese consumer from the US. And our sort of mission is to make that freely accessible, less daunting, less challenging, and being able to sort of activate China from the US, you know, irrespective of, you know, some of the hurdles that you may think are associated with China. So really, you know, both in China and outside of China, but, you know, the majority of the brands that we work with are based in the US, who are looking to reach the Chinese audience.
Now, is the inventory different, or are there certain capabilities that the China programmatic platforms provide that the other regions don't, or vice versa?
Yeah, so, you know, there's, I guess we're getting to the differences now. I think the way I think about this is, you know, we're all sort of quite familiar with the Lumascape, say in the US. I think that there is a Lumascape for China, and the sort of the constructs of that Lumascape are very similar, albeit the logos are very different. So, you know, what we may rely on, you know, quite heavily in terms of platforms and technology in, say, the US, when marketing programmatically, they're not really apparent within China. So the likes of Google and Amazon and Facebook are not really programmatically present within the market. And therefore, there's, you know, lots of different other technologies in China that are required, that are more sort of custom and bespoke to that sort of nuanced ecosystem. So, you know, some to call out are, you know, Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent, Weibo, so on and so forth. And we partner with those guys in China, but they do provide very, you know, fundamentally similar services to some of the other platforms that we're familiar with in the US.
Can you talk about the growth of the market? How, you know, how significant has or how much demand is there now? Are you seeing more clients really shifting dollars towards it, or are they still testing the waters?
Yeah, so I think you know, we went into, you know, 2020, you know, full of optimism, and we're actually seeing, you know, demand for our China services, you know, grow really fast. And it's one of our fastest growing markets we've ever launched in. But I think the pandemic sort of tempered that somewhat. But it has, you know, bounced back and sort of remained resilient, and has been a bit of a sort of a beacon or a shining light for our business, whilst other markets sort of are growing at a lesser rate. But yeah, programmatic in China is really going off the charts. I mean, the market has doubled in size in terms of ad spend over the last sort of 3 or 4 years. Programmatic is, you know, despite the pandemic, you know, was the only sort of programmatic market to grow last year, and is set for more growth this year. So I think, you know, marketers are seeing programmatic as, you know, a really strong opportunity and getting a lot of value from it, which is why they're continuing to invest more. But and we're seeing that with some of the customers that we speak with. But also, you know, on the flip side, you know, publishers and apps are now sort of looking at programmatic as a more important vehicle to monetize their content and drive higher yield. So it's really benefiting both parties. You've got marketers seeing the results in programmatic, which is driving the ad spend. And then you're getting publishers and app developers looking at programmatic to better monetize their content. So I think, you know, that sort of that two-pronged approach where it's benefiting both sides is really what's sort of driving the momentum in the industry at the moment.
Now, you know, China is a very heavy mobile user country. Everyone's on mobile devices, and they predominantly do everything on their mobile. So I'm assuming that most of the inventory is on mobile. And if not, you know, can you talk about what has surprised you in terms of the types of inventory that you're seeing?
Yeah, so I think, you know, even just taking a step back, I think in China, you know, digital represents over 75% of sort of total ad spend, which is the highest of any market in the world. And mobile makes up a really strong percentage of that. And so there's, you know, there's over 900 million people connected to the internet in China now. And that in itself has sort of grown by 30 million in the last 6 months. And
it's three times more than the US population, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, you have to sort of pinch yourself regularly because the statistics are really off the charts. But like, you know, the majority of that internet population are accessing the internet via mobile. And so, you know, I think recent studies showed that, you know, more than three quarters of, you know, internet time was on mobile devices. And, you know, programmatic is really synonymous with mobile, where the majority of programmatic spend, I think almost 90%, is across mobile. The Chinese consumer or the Chinese audience is very sort of mobile first and digitally savvy. And if you're thinking about marketing in China, you know, mobile is certainly the first place to start.
Now, does that make measuring campaigns back to, you know, and backing into, you know, cost per acquisitions, cost per sales, or some sort of KPI more difficult?
Yeah, it does make things, you know, sort of more challenging, particularly when, you know, sort of global brands have, you know, sort of consistent ways of sort of measuring based upon, you know, sales that occur on web environments and leveraging, you know, cookies and pixels and things like that. You know, with China being very app orientated, it is different, and it does need a sort of a little bit of a nuanced touch to be able to sort of measure sales. But it certainly is achievable, and we do drive return on ad spend and sales for many clients. It's just slightly different, and I think that's an area where it's so sort of ingrained within the sort of the ecosystem and with consumers within China that it's an area where sort of brands sort of have to bend for China rather than China bending for the brand, so to speak. But you know, we measure lots of things like leads and sales, you know, sales on e-commerce platforms, which is super interesting, as well as things that are sort of more common, such as brand metrics such as bounce rates and session duration and the sort of the app downloads and the behavior that occurs once an app has been installed, those sorts of things.
So what is your advice for brands in terms of getting started in China? So if you're thinking about it, you know, what should they look into? What should their approach be? And where should they start?
Yeah, well, I would encourage brands to, you know, get started immediately, but I might be biased to some extent. I think, you know, we've already touched upon it. Definitely have to make mobile a priority. So almost sort of, you know, forget the kind of the desktop world altogether and just go straight for mobile and make sort of in-app advertising, you know, very high up on the agenda. I think, you know, going local, sort of reference at the ecosystem is different. And so, you know, being able to partner with, you know, the best of breed technology and platforms and partners who know that ecosystem is really important. And then I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, there are associations with sort of ad fraud with China. And so I think it's about sort of acknowledging that and getting ahead of it. And again, sort of partnering locally to be able to best understand, measure and mitigate sort of the ad fraud challenges that are associated with China. And maybe, you know, more than anything actually is to sort of know your audience. And so if you've got, you know, 900 million people connected to the internet, unless, you know, you're a marketer with infinite investment, you know, you really need to sort of narrow down your targeting. So working with a partner that is able to build and curate an audience that sort of meets your requirements, so that you can be more effective in how you sort of slice and dice, you know, the internet population, and also leverage sort of the geography city tier classification, which is a really good thing to do. That just allows you to sort of home in out of the gate. And maybe lastly as well is, you know, demand for transparency. So I often find in China, it's like, you know, just because, you know, you haven't got something doesn't mean you can't get it. So it's just about asking the question and partnering with the right people that will give you the transparency and visibility required to give you the confidence to really get started.
Now, are most of the programmatic buys you're managing open web or private marketplace, automated guarantee? And, you know, in order to move towards more of an automated guarantee private marketplace, what are some things that you'd like to see in the market?
Yeah, so everything that, I think in China, actually, you know, sort of there's three main sort of tiers of inventory. And so they're called programmatic direct buyers, programmatic direct, and then the open marketplace. And so, you know, programmatic direct buyers is normally shortened to PDB, which is, you know, sort of preferred guaranteed deals, and PD or private direct is, or programmatic direct, sorry, is more like PMPs. And it's roughly sort of like a third, really. And it depends sort of the nature of the media buy that you want to execute in which you leverage. And so, you know, we participate and are able to procure inventory in all different sections. And so, you know, whether, you know, brands are already aware of the publications that they want to buy up front, you know, we often just enable those media buys. But then if you are more interested in sort of audience-led targeting and not necessarily buying endemic content up front, we overlay sort of audience targeting and optimizations to find value in that open marketplace. But it's all mobile app for the most part. And then it's a mixture between the three of PDBs, PDs, and open marketplace. And really it's about having a mix of all three gives you the best of all worlds, I'd say.
Now in the US, we've had a lot of challenges and what that we've overcome with GDPR, CCPA, and you know, lots of pressure around privacy and data and consumer consent. Are those things also challenging in the Asian market?
Yeah, I think you know, China now is more than ever actually, you know, being you know, quite forward thinking in approaching things like GDPR and CCPA, and often sort of looking at you know, those as a means to sort of set the rules and foundations in China as well. So, you know, there's advertising law has changed of late, which is thinking, being more forward thinking with consumers in mind. You know, cybersecurity laws have sort of changed and are set to change. So I think, you know, it's a very different ecosystem that's governed, you know, very differently. But I am sort of seeing that sort of there's more trends that are occurring that I've seen in the last 18 months where sort of the consumer is being put sort of more front and center, and they're looking at GDPR and CCPA as a bit of a shining light of how to sort of best govern and look to regulate the usage of data and privacy in China.
Now, earlier you had mentioned about the inbound and outbound types of clients that you have. So accessing China from outside of China doesn't seem quite normal, or doesn't, you know, maybe perhaps some are thinking like, why would you do that? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think, you know, often, you know, a brand would think, oh, if I'm going to execute, you know, media or market in China, I'm going to have to do that in China. I think what we're looking to do is, and what we are doing is just providing a level of optionality into the market that hasn't necessarily really existed before, and particularly even more so when you think about programmatic. And so I think, you know, for brands in the US, it's often that balance of, you know, I really want to maintain sort of central decision-making and standardization and have control and visibility on what's executing in China, but I also want to, you know, activate locally and be able to keep informed with sort of the news and trends and regulations, and you know, be, you know, sort of quite close to the ground to be agile and pivot when necessary. And often it's kind of like a, you know, one or the other. And you know, what we're finding is that you know, we have people on the ground in China. But also what's really critical and has been, you know, so important to MIQ's success over sort of the last 10 years is really servicing our clients and having people close to where our clients are situated. And so, you know, we have sort of China specialists located across the US that can service sort of China-based business in your time zone. So if there's problems or if there's things you want to know at 5 p.m. on a Friday, it's not the weekend, for instance, in Beijing or Shanghai. And so I think we're trying to provide the best of both worlds, whereby we've got China specialists located in the US that are up to speed with everything in China and can service business there. But at the same time, you know, we've got people on the ground that are furthering our product, you know, working on keeping us informed of all the trends. So my view is you don't have to compromise. You can work with a partner gives you the best of both worlds, and that's really what we're trying to set up.
Now, in terms of creative, does your organization develop creative or provide consultation and strategy for the brands regarding the creative, their creative approach?
Yeah, so creative is a great one. So there's, you know, I think, you know, the IAB does a great job at, you know, sort of standardizing, you know, creative dimensions and lots more. And in China, that standardization is really yet to sort of come into play. So that can lead to sort of hundreds of iterations of creative dimensions, which can be quite complex. And they're all needed because most apps in China will develop something that's native to, you know, their app and is best for the user experience. And so you do need to have, you know, someone that can help on the creative side, really that with translations, sort of language requirements, building to the right specifications and dimensions. And we have a team in the US and the UK that help brands do that. So they really help understand what the message is that the brand is trying to communicate. And then we know the ecosystem enough to be able to sort of translate that message in a sort of a compliant and friendly way, so they get maximum scale and can access all of the inventory within China. So I think it's one of the most important things to get right. And if you don't get that right, it can be really challenging to access, you know, all of the inventory that you need in China.
So does that mean that you can read and speak Chinese fluently now?
Not yet. I'm working on it. But all of my team can. And that's the most important thing, because they're much more capable than I. I don't think I'll be doing any creative translations for brands anytime soon.
Now, for those teams that are outside of the US servicing the market, what are some of the things, what advice do you have for them? Or what are some of the things that they've had to learn differently to manage these campaigns?
So you're referring to our partners outside of China and what they've had to learn when running campaigns in China.
Your staff specifically.
Oh yeah. I'll speak about my own experience really. I think you know, I was presented the opportunity to work on launching our China business just over 2 years ago, and you know, I was just so overwhelmed and fascinated by the ecosystem and how thriving it was. There's a ton of reading materials and content about it. And everything is just growing at such a rate that it's hard to, you know, not get excited by it at all. So I think it's, you know, with prior to the pandemic, you know, everyone who's part of, you know, our China team, you know, going out and visiting China, I think that makes it feel very real. And so, you know, visiting our Shanghai office there, and, you know, really getting ingrained in, you know, reading all the sort of the local news, you know, liaising with our partners in China. So now that was in person, but now a lot of that is through video conferencing. But our partners in China are fantastic, and we really wouldn't be anywhere without those guys. And they provide a lot of sort of education to us, and a lot of ways to sort of innovate and partner together. So I think it's, you know, a blend of, you know, being physical and present in the market creates that energy, and also just like a lot of our sort of partnerships that are really sort of mutually beneficial, provide us a lot of sort of learning opportunities to go back to our clients in the best possible way.
Now, IAB Tech Lab, our sister organization, really helps to develop standards from a global perspective. I know that previously it's been difficult, or not difficult, but the China market had more challenges adopting some of those standards, especially if you think about the programmatic system. We got open measurement, OMSDK, we got CIMID, and so forth. There's the data transparency work that we're doing. What are some of the standards that you're starting to see flourish within the market, and where do you see there's still gaps?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of, you know, room for improvement on standards or levels of standardization, a lot of which, you know, the IAB provide, you know, markets outside of China. There is this sort of collective sense that, you know, programmatic is going to grow, and in order to make it grow, there needs to be more consistency. So, you know, lots of you know, businesses within China are sort of clubbing together, and so like the Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent, and others, you know, some of the real dominant sort of players in the market are being open-minded and quite forthcoming in thinking about how they sort of share their data, or how they sort of work with more of a sort of an open approach to programmatic. And so whether that be, you know, sort of more common sort of ways to integrate SDKs, and for that information to be sort of more widely shared, there is that sort of, I think, ambition to do that. And there are sort of, you know, the Chinese sort of governing bodies within the industry are working more now with sort of international sort of regulators and international bodies to learn from them to bring the sort of the best of what's available in other markets to China. So I think there's a long way to go, yeah, it's a work in progress, and there's a general sense of optimism. And I think programmatic will prevail, and there will be levels of standardization that will be somewhat consistent, you know, globally, but accommodate and cater for the nuances of the ecosystem in China.
So what's your predictions for the programmatic ecosystem in China for 2021?
Well, it's definitely going to grow. I mean, it doesn't take a sort of a genius to see that. It's certainly going to grow. I think the, like I was referencing there, I think, you know, the traditional way of sort of direct transactions in China, so sort of like agency to publisher, I think that will sort of start to go down, and I think programmatic will become more prolific. I think there will be levels of standardization that start to get introduced to the market. I think you'll see it will become a sort of more open and more thriving. There's already a ton of sort of innovative local technology partners within China. I think we'll continue to see sort of more of those. And I think, you know, as the sort of the world hopefully recovers from the pandemic, I think we'll start to see a lot more demand from international brands and their level of interest in China, particularly a sort of travel resumes, and you know, maybe sort of like higher education, you know, freedom of sort of international students moving across, I think there's plenty of room for optimism. The you know, the Chinese programmatic market, I think, innovates at such pace. I think every 6 months you sort of have to you know, take a look and sort of remind yourself what it was, because it innovates so quickly. So I think it will innovate. It's definitely going to continue to grow. I mean, it grew last year, and that was during the sort of the height of the pandemic in China. So I think this year will grow even more. And I think the sort of the demand and appetite for international brands to market to China is just going to increase as well.
Now, obviously the travel industry had a big hit, and at least in the US, retailers and restaurants. What types of clients are seeing the benefits of programmatic? Which ones have been most successful that you've seen?
Yeah, so, you know, when you think of travel, you think, you know, international travel, but actually, you know, domestic travel in China is thriving. So since last summer, you know, there's sort of been record levels of, you know, domestic travel. So for instance, for like hotels, we're still working with many hotels that have a presence within China, and want to, you know, leverage programmatic to market to consumers for hotel reservations and bookings and things like that. But I think lots of brands are, you know, using this time, or have used this time, to think more about the future. So to plan and to take a bit of a reset and a pause, and to think about how they can get ahead of the game, and to strategize ahead of sort of hopefully the world coming back on online again, and that freedom of movement. But persistent verticals have been education and real estate and commerce, particularly, you know, lots of commerce brands that we work with, you know, particularly luxury, food and beverage, have seen their sales in China go up over this time. So they've been persistent in advertising throughout sort of COVID. And I think, you know, travel and hospitality and things of that nature will bounce back in the not too distant future. And, you know, those that are planning now will be well placed to take advantage of that, hopefully when, you know, things are in a better spot.
And in terms of, and I'll go back to the creative question, but it's more around with the impact of COVID, did you see a shift in messaging and approach from these brands, and what types of changes happened?
Yeah, I think brands were definitely sort of more sensitive around their sort of tone. So it was less around, you know, driving sales and being, you know, sort of, not necessarily aggressive, but, you know, sort of, you know, pursuing sort of immediate return. It was more around, you know, thinking about almost like societal impact and sort of messaging that was softer, more well-rounded, more considerate, and more about their brand, as opposed to, say, shifting units or selling, you know, goods and services online. It was more around, you know, thinking about sort of long-term brand image and brand awareness, where I think, you know, those brands, I think, have been, you know, very... positively sort of rewarded for that, and I think a lot of Chinese consumers you know, think quite positively around brands that sort of take that that message, and just generally, you know, linking to my earlier point, it's like, you know, where, for instance, in travel, where there may be challenges, you know, for people moving internationally, it's, you know, promoting your brand ahead of time, and so that when that moment does come back where international travel is permitted again, you know, Chinese consumers are very familiar with your brand, have done a lot of research before, and are ready to sort of transact. So, you know, thinking a little bit more about the future and being a bit more well-rounded and softer messaging has been something we've definitely seen.
So I want to get into a little bit more about consumer behavior. So besides being on mobile, what types of content are they consuming and engaging with?
Yeah, one of the most exciting sort of areas of programmatic is video. So yeah, I'm sure that, you know, video consumption, things like Netflix and Prime and so on and so forth, has gone through the roof, you know, in the US and also the UK now. But a lot of short form video through Douyin or TikTok in China or Bilibili, as well as Youku and iQIYI, two very prominent sort of video platforms, and Tencent Video. So there's definitely been a shift to video over this period. And they present sort of fantastic opportunities that we're connected with in order to reach that audience. So people are definitely sort of very mobile first. And then, within mobile, video is a really great medium that we've seen grow a lot. And then actually, connected TV is a huge area of opportunity in China. And so we see over 250 million sort of households in China who have connected TVs. And that's an area that's growing, a lot. So I think, mobile and specifically video, there are sort of areas to watch, but then also, connected TV and having the sort of the big screen, as well as, some of the smaller screens via mobiles, is something that we'll continue to see in the future.
Now, in this interview, you rarely mention the terms Google, Amazon, and YouTube, and Facebook, because obviously the China market has much different properties. Do you see them having an increased presence in that market at all in the future?
I don't think so. I think those businesses, they either attempted or were present to some extent a long time back, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Those guys, though, they are present amongst the sort of Chinese marketers with regards to sort of offering their services overseas to Chinese brands, but really there's exciting brands that provide equivalent services and more, sort of like WeChat and Tmall and Taobao and Douyin. These are all hugely exciting, sort of properties and platforms and companies in their own right. Many of which are growing really quickly overseas now. So I think that won't change. I don't think there's a need or a reason for that to change.
Now, you said that those companies are looking at overseas. What are some of the your expectations in terms of their penetration in other markets, and what excites you the most?
Yeah, so TikTok has been a hugely exciting company, and their growth is sort of going through the roof internationally. Huawei as well, Hisense, and there's the Lenovo, big brands overseas, and we work and partner with a lot of those. I think I'm really excited to see is how apps such as WeChat and maybe Alibaba, through Taobao or Tmall, start to penetrate sort of the rest of the world. I use WeChat, and so does all my team use WeChat, and it's a fantastic app that you can more or less do everything in.
I can't tell you how much my parents and my parents' friends are all on WeChat, and the fact that they can communicate with their old friends and family in the mainland is tremendous to them, because it was always so expensive before, and so now that they're actually in communication, doing things, reading articles that they didn't have access to before. So I think it's fascinating.
I mean, I often do, have a Zoom hangout with colleagues in China, and then, it's sort of intermittent and, it sort of goes in and out, but then we do a WeChat video call and it's absolutely fine. So that's sort of becoming our default now, rather than sort of using, Zoom and Google Hangouts and things like that.
Yeah, and it almost seems like, especially WeChat, it's almost like a Facebook Facebook Messenger hybrid, right? So that you get your news and you get to chat, you get to transact in some cases. So
yeah, I mean, WeChat, is such a fascinating app. And, really, you can do everything within that, and know, we're really proud to, you know, partner, you know, with those guys, and through our platforms that we access in China, you know, we buy inventory on WeChat, you know, and they have over 1 billion users subscribed, and so that, you know, immediately gives, you know, fantastic reach. But also, you know, you're talking about all the different things and behaviors that people do in WeChat. You know, we leverage and harness, you know, that sort of behavior to inform how we construct audiences to target programmatically in China. And so that's a really exciting thing about China, is that, you know, how you leverage data and how you build audiences is all quite transparent, and you can all be, you can be very granular, and it's quite interoperable. So you can sort of build audiences and disperse those audiences into many different platforms. Something that I found, you know, sort of really interesting relative to, you know, maybe how sort of insular some other platforms are internationally. You know, some platforms in China are actually way more open-minded in that regard.
I think it's quite interesting. Like, we have social platforms here in the US and the UK, but the way that the China market has really embraced social platforms and really utilizing it as a utilitarian tool, right, being able to do multi-function, it really seems like they are focused more on a one-on-one relationship, or enabling a one-on-one relationship between a brand and a user, where there's an easier way of communicating and providing services.
I think you asked me earlier about you know, GDPR, CCPA, and how sort of China is dealing with that. Well, like a lot of, I think WeChat is a great example of this. You know, they sort of they have like a finite amount of advertising that can occur. You know, so like 3 ads per day when you open WeChat. And always sort of somewhat, you know, a lot of apps in China almost self-regulate with that regard. You know, very sort of user-friendly, not sort of over-messaging or looking to over-monetize. That developing of creative units so there's a more native experience. It's all designed with, I think, the sort of the consumer in mind, which mean that, you know, these apps, you know, they grow a lot, and they get a lot of sort of demand from people within China. And, you know, I think, you know, these, hopefully, like I said before, these apps will scale internationally. And, you know, we're really excited to partner with them.
So when you're growing your team, what are some of the skill sets and talent that you're looking for when hiring a person on your team?
Yeah, I got asked this recently, actually. I think, you know, there's obviously hard skills that are required in terms of, you know, if you're a trader or a media buyer, you know, you need to sort of be familiar with, you know, Chinese platforms, and there's a bilingual element there. And if you're you know, a member of a sort of the sales team or the commercial department, you know, there's a real need to understand sort of global brands' needs and being able to translate that into the China ecosystem, so that, you know, brands may feel comfortable and confident that they're getting the most from their investment with the right partner. But I think more it's actually the sort of the softer skills for me. It's about, you know, being curious, being sort of intellectually stimulated by all of the things that are going on in China, being really determined. And I think also being sort of quite sort of unwavering and quite relentless in your pursuit to, you know, drive results for clients and to better service clients. I think they're the things that sort of really look for in our team, as opposed to sort of experience and sort of length of time working in certain areas. It's more around those sort of softer areas. And I think, you know, hard skills can be taught over time, whereas softer skills are more sort of something that's part of someone's DNA and behavior.
Now, what are MIQ's plans for 2021?
Yeah, so you know, we hugely exciting plans when it comes to China. You know, we're you know, rolling out our sort of China capabilities to many more territories. So Most of the time we've been focused on the US. We are expanding that sort of more globally now. We're equipping our sort of teams to sort of better speak to our capabilities and making that sort of more part of our sort of core programmatic services that we offer throughout the US. We've got some exciting partnerships on the horizon with some of the larger businesses within China, which are really around improving our inventory partnerships, improving our ability to measure. Measure, for instance, sales and uplift within e-commerce platforms, or measure uplift within sort of social apps such as WeChat and so on and so forth. So I think there's definitely a lot more sort of product updates that are coming that are going to make our solution more well-rounded. And then also sort of getting sort of deeper within China. So what I mean by that is looking to sort of build a data center and to receive information more granularly so that we can apply data science and engineering in a way in which can drive better results for our clients and drive more insight. That's something that we've been really successful doing in lots of other geographies, and we're looking to sort of build that out this year in China as well. So lots to look forward to this year, and looking forward to seeing programmatic grow in China, and hopefully sort of the demand for international advertisers to market in China to increase as well.
Well, that's so exciting. Well, I want to thank you. We are out of time, if anyone ever has any questions, just reach out. I think you're available on LinkedIn and so forth. So really appreciate having you here. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Angelina. Appreciate it.
So thank you, everyone. IAB There is a production of the Interactive Advertising Bureau. Our show today was produced by Connor Healy, Joe Ons, and John Ward. I'm Angelina Eng. Thank you for watching.
IAB's next big event is ALM, the annual leadership meeting running the week of March 8th. To find out more, visit www.iab.com/events. We'll see you there.